and welcome to episode 23 of Checking the Gate, a film and religion podcast. I am Michael M. Patty.
And I am Robert Wright Stasko.
And today we are celebrating Easteravaganza 2 already. It seems barely a few episodes ago we were talking about crucifixion movies, two at a time. The Passion of the Christ and The Last Temptation of Christ. And yet here we are again. Today is actually 2 days after Easter 2013, and we are talking about Monty Python's The Life of Brian. A non-traditional choice, but we have something to say about it, and it seemed appropriate around Easter time.
Yes, and we'll kind of delve into some of the other religious satirical sketches that Monty Python does in their seminal TV classic Monty Python's Flying Circus in our TV corner, but not too much because they weren't all that funny.
No, and it wasn't covered in as depth in the sketches as it was in this movie or even any of the movies. They all feature more religious content in the films than they ever did on the show.
Yeah, but since we don't have anything else to talk about, we'll do that.
Yes.
Okay, so Mike, did you want to do the rundown of the movie?
I'll do my best. It came out in 1979, and it is the second feature film, not counting And Now for Something Completely Different, to feature the Monty Python cast. And instead of the hunt for the Holy Grail, they decided to focus on not so much the life of Jesus, but the time of Jesus. A boy named Brian is born in the manger just west of Jesus. The three wise men show up at his birth instead of at Jesus's and at first present his mother with gold, frankincense, and myrrh and have to explain to her what it is. And then quickly realize they're in the wrong place and then go pay Jesus homage. And it then jumps ahead to when Brian is 33. And he's listening to Jesus give the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, the rest of the movie is about the followers of Jesus and the time of Jesus and people mistaking Brian for the Messiah. And I don't think it's a spoiler if I give away the end of the movie. At the end of the movie, Brian is crucified to the happy-go-lucky song, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
I love that song. I can't help it.
It is very chipper and upbeat despite its lyrics and and what it's really about.
Yeah. The idea for it, this movie started after they had finished Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I think it was Eric Idle had the idea.
Jesus Christ, Lust for Glory.
That's right.
That was my best Eric Idle voice. I apologize.
I went to a beautiful tropical island location away from everything, and it was just them relaxing by the pool writing comedy, and they came up with this, what I think is their one of their best movies.
I have to disagree with you. This is my least favorite of the four. I prefer Holy Grail and Meaning of Life to this, and let me explain why. It has nothing to do with the religious content. I actually think that it's the religious content and the point that they're trying to make is good satire, and we've talked about it on the show before about how Jesus' name is perverted a lot of the time to people who are so vehement in defending his name that they'll violate what he taught. That's
right. Yeah.
That's one of the points they make in here. My biggest beef is with the stuff that has nothing to do with that, that's just trying to be funny. I don't think any of it hits home. There's the scene where they're laughing at Pontius Pilate's speech impediment. That's not funny to me. That's just juvenile.
We wee swaja.
Right, that. There's the haggling scene, which I think is supposed to be, I don't know if that's supposed to be a critique on people who think that's a Jewish stereotype. I just thought it was a waste of time in the middle of a chase scene.
Well, that upped the tension.
I guess.
He's trying to get away. Well, the parts that I thought fell flat were all the stuff with the People's Front of Judea.
Yes.
They kind of belabored that, but I think they used that stuff to fill out the movie.
I get why that's in there, as especially in the late 70s with hostage crises. And
yeah, it probably had a lot more impact back then, right, with all the different factions and they're all fighting amongst themselves. And
but it gets a lot of screen time that maybe could have been used elsewhere.
Yeah,
to make it funnier. Instead of belaboring the point, to use your term again.
Yeah. Well, the stuff that they say about religious life, like this scene has ruined the Beatitudes for me. The very first scene where he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, and what do you say? I thought he said, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." He goes, "What's so special about them?" Oh, dear, I don't think it's meant to be taken literally.
It's a metaphor for all dairy workers.
Yeah. So I remember it was about like 10 years ago, my wife and I were sitting in the pew and our pastor is preaching on, you know, what it means to be a peacemaker. And we're sitting there going, just trying to hold it in. I mean, we were, you know, admittedly 10 years younger and a lot more immature. I mean, I can listen to a sermon on the Beatitudes now, but it's taken me a long time.
Are you sure he wasn't referring to the George Clooney, Nicole Kidman classic?
Oh, you ruined it for me again.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Blessed is the Peacemaker, the first film released under DreamWorks SKG.
That movie was... Let's not go there.
Okay.
Well, then the next scene with the ex-leper. Oh, man, that makes me die, too.
Okay, that was pretty good. All right, that one was funny.
And so finally, the guy's bugging Brian for the ex-leper's bugging Brian for some money, and so finally he gives him. He's like, "Half a denarii? I give him my life story, and that's all I get." He's like, "There's no pleasing some people." That's what Jesus said.
It's gonna be one of those episodes, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and the part with the Latin graffiti.
Oh,
The Romans telling him how to conjugate.
As an English major, I appreciate good grammar humor. It may have gone on a little too long, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And the one part I forgot about is when after he does that, after he does the graffiti, he gets captured, and he goes before Pilate, and they introduce Pilate and his speech impediment, and then he breaks loose because everyone's laughing at Pilate's speech impediment, and then he gets kidnapped by a Terry Gilliam movie.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, and he gets transported by aliens into a spaceship, and they're flying around, and there's a space battle, and he crashes back in Jerusalem, and
without a scratch.
Yeah, you know, the Monty Python's King of the Non Sequiturs,
but could aliens have been responsible during the time of Jesus Christ? Maybe, says one professor. There's our requisite ancient aliens reference.
Yeah, we'll be talking about him soon.
Yeah.
You get ready. It's coming up in an episode or two.
I thought it was the next one.
I thought
month was Contact and Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
All right.
Spoiler alert. Anyways.
Spoilers.
Okay, so he crash lands and he runs away and goes back to the people's front of Judea. He's trying to hide from the Romans, and he falls out of a balcony, and he lands, and he starts teaching, like, Jesus. He's trying to remember some of Jesus' parables, and, well, there were two servants. Well, what were their names? Well, I don't know. It's not important. What do you mean you don't know their names? Okay, they were Adrian and something. And he's like, you just said you didn't know their names. Yeah. Well, that's not the point. Well, wait a minute. There are three servants. Oh, he's making it up.
There was a Kids in the Hall sketch like that.
Oh, yeah?
You know. Okay. There was this guy. And there's this other guy. Well, wait. You just said there was one guy. There are two guys in this story.
So they were improving upon a weird sketch. But this is where the point where it gets really satirical. And where Christians should stand up and pay attention. Is this part of the movie? Or he starts preaching and saying something, telling a parable, and then he said, and then the you know, he's trying to look all important and preachy so the Romans don't notice him, and then as they go away, he gets down off and they're like, well, what? Well, nothing. What do you mean nothing? Is it a secret? He's got a secret. So they start following him because when he's trying to make stuff up and trying to say, but when he stops talking and says, well, you know, they think he has a secret. And that is sort of like the Gnostic belief that was going around at the time and existed for a few centuries after Christ, that there's some secret knowledge that could get you into heaven. And you, if you know the secret password, you can escape your body and get into the spiritual realm. And that's what Gnostic means. It means knowledge. And so they thought that Brian was some sort of Gnostic teacher. So they start following him. And he gives someone his gourd and then he drops a shoe and... No, the shoe is a sign. No, the gourd is a sign. And it's the same sort of like stupid fighting that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years over.
And when he's leaning out his window trying to get rid of them, they're all repeating him verbatim. And yeah. You don't have to be all the same. We don't have to be all the same. I do. So, Robert, I'd like to go back to a comment you made just a moment ago.
Okay.
You said Christians should look at this film and examine it.
Yes, they should.
I have it on good authority that Monty Python is a nasty and vulgar comedy, and in no way should a Christian watch this filth. Do you have any response to this?
Should I tell where this comment came from?
This was posted, this was in response to a Facebook post Robert made, completely independent of the discussion of this film, about Monty Python members working on an upcoming sci-fi film.
Which I'm very excited about, and I tweeted on Checking the Gates, CTG Podcast. You can go there on Twitter and follow us. And you can get such awesome tweets as, you know, Monty Python's making a new sci-fi movie. But anyways, in my...
And Oh My God, Pacific Rim. That's religious content. It said, Oh My God.
Hey, some giant sea monsters are worshipped as gods. You know, just watch the original Godzilla. But that's a conversation we already had. But anyways...
That was tweeted, and it all automatically went up to Facebook, and somebody replied on Facebook.
Yeah, who thought that I should not be watching Monty Python. So I responded.
Yeah. In their infinite wisdom, they decided what Christians should and shouldn't watch.
Yeah. So in response, I replied back on Facebook that, well, sometimes their humor is vulgar, but, you know, Life of Brian does have... something to say about the way Christians behave badly. Like you said, Michael, we tend to get so riled up about how we should worship Jesus and how we should baptize and how we should have communion that we end up violating the more important things he said about loving each other and taking care of each other and humbling ourselves. You know, we're so bent on being right, like this is the right way to baptize. You have to baptize people when they're born, sprinkling them on the head. No, you can't do that. You have to baptize them when they're at the age of accountability, when they can make the decision for Christ, and then you got to dunk them face first. No, not face first, backwards, all the way in the water. No, it's got to be face first. We get so bent out of shape about the minutia, whether, you know, is it the gourd or the shoe? Well, if it's a shoe, do we take off our shoes? No. You know, and then right after that scene with the gourd and the shoe, he finds this ascetic in a hole. An ascetic is a person who doesn't eat, they fast, they cut themselves off from the world, they are usually celibate and stuff, and sometimes takes a vow of silence. So he steps on this guy's foot, and he's like, oh, my foot! He starts cursing him, and I had 18 years of silence, and now they're lampooning everything all at once. And that is brilliant. And he's like, I'm not the Messiah. Only the true Messiah would deny that he is the Messiah. Well, I am the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And I won't repeat his last line, but he tells them to go away. But I think it goes to our inability to really listen to what's being said. You know, we want to believe what we want to believe and not what God wants us to believe. I don't know, what do you think about this, Mike?
I think this movie included, and I've seen all the episodes, and I've seen all the movies. I think there is far worse vulgar comedy out there that doesn't have underlying messages and points that's just filthy to be funny, and you could do a lot worse.
Yeah.
And I think the person who wrote that comment is mistaken, and that is all.
Yeah.
I'm going to be diplomatic.
Yeah. He could be like the man in the pit there, shut himself off from everything, only to have someone intrude and step on his foot by saying, "Hey, watch Monty Python."
Yeah.
It's so hard to, we want to hold these ideals of like, oh, we want to be so holy and stuff, but we think we can do that by following the rules, like at the beginning when they have the stoning, you know.
Are there any women here by chance?
No.
If you slip up and say, you know, the name of God, then you could be killed. And that was a real thing, you know, the pythons did their research. That was a real thing. And you know what? I like the way that scene brings back that passage from John where Jesus is sitting and drawing in the dirt and all the people bring this woman and they said, "She committed adultery. We need to stone her." And he's like, "Well, let he who has never sinned cast the first stone." And everyone is so willing in the scene from the movie to whip stones. Like, whoop-ha! Who threw that? Get to the back. You know, everyone's just raring to go. And that's how we are today. I think we want to throw stones, especially at homosexuals. That this is the issue of homosexuality in the church is tearing it apart. And, you know, we're so keen to pick up that stone and throw it. And you know, Jesus calls us to love, you know, calls us to humble ourselves, drop our stones and,
yeah, just
and you know, get to know people and introduce them to Christ rather than ostracize them and kick them out, you know.
Yeah, just think how those people are going to be looked at in 50 years. It's going to be like all the old people railing against the blacks,
yeah,
you know, 20 years ago.
You know, if you look at the literature at the time of the Civil War, there is a lot of people using the Bible to biblically support slavery.
Yep.
Slavery at the time the Bible was written was a lot different. It was indentured servitude, really. It's more like a lower class jobs today. And, you know, people would be set free. You know, you'd earn your freedom after a while, and sometimes you just sell yourself back into indentured servitude. A lot of times you know, if you worked every day, you ate every day. If you didn't work every day, you didn't eat. So it's a lot different than today. There wasn't much of a middle class. I'm very impressed in the way the pythons, like, researched the time period with the settings and the costumes. They shot it in Tunisia, where such movies like Star Wars were shot, but also a lot of the biblical epics. So all the people there, they knew what to do as extras.
Yeah, did you watch the same documentary?
Yeah.
I watched, like, half of it.
Yeah, they had everything, all the sets and everything were set up, because every time Hollywood rolled in with another biblical epic, they haven't done one of those for a long time, except for recently they did the Bible miniseries on History Channel. Yeah. Did you watch that?
Just the 5 minutes when we were on the phone together talking about it. I remember thinking, I don't know if we're going to do this for a future episode, but Robert and I were talking about something else. I think it was his birthday, and it was on, and I turned it on for like 5 minutes, and I remember thinking, this looks so cheap, and turned it off.
Yeah, it had moments where it was all right, but there were points where they just changed the story so much. You know, they said they were trying to get at the, how did they put it?
The heart of the message or something like that.
Yeah, we endeavor to stay true to the spirit of the story. That's what they were saying. But yeah, how do you interpret that spirit?
They always change the book.
Yeah. I should know better, but I was following along with my book. They changed that, they changed this, and this is not the way it was. And I'm like,
it's always the fanboys who complain the loudest.
I know, I'm a Bible fanboy.
It looks like they did the same thing with World War Z, so.
You know, don't get started on Lord of the Rings. Tom Bombadil! But I did
Who's that? He wasn't in the movie.
Well, I did the same thing during the Bible. I'm like, where's Gideon? How could you skip? How could you leave out Rehoboam? Rehoboam, how could you leave him out? Yeah, you know.
I don't get that reference, folks. God bless you if you do.
Yeah, well, we already talked about the American Bible Challenge. I think it's back on for another season.
Yeah.
But this one, if you watch the Bible, you can, you know, test your knowledge and point out all the things that they changed and make yourself feel good.
Or watch all 10 hours of the Bible and then go on the American Bible Challenge.
And fail miserably.
And see if that helps.
But that's not what it was in the movie. We're not doing the movie.
Did you just do Jeff Foxworthy?
I just did.
Nice.
But anyways, back to Life of Brian.
You know, just completely apropos of nothing, one of possibly my favorite joke in the movie that didn't have satire behind it. Crucifixion? Okay. Off to the left, one cross per person. And then Eric Idle comes up and, crucifixion? No, freedom for me. Oh, yeah. They said, you didn't do anything wrong and you can go free. Oh, okay then. No, I'm just pulling your leg. It's crucifixion.
I love that. And then when they have them all hanging up there, there's like all these things working in Brian's favor that are, he's mistakenly sentenced to crucifixion. They've brought all the Jews in front of Pilate, and he's like, "Release Brian!" You know, because they've demanded they release Brian. And then the people's front of Judea, they're going to do something finally instead of sitting around and talking like they have all movie. And they're going to go do something. And
yeah, they debate going and doing something in committee.
Yeah, which is...
That was boring.
There's some ecclesiological things going on too.
Oh, okay. See, that was lost on me.
Yeah, because a lot of Christians, you'll sit around and talk about doing stuff, but then they won't actually do it.
Okay.
So that was a barb well sunk into the skin, you know. And then Brian's hanging on the cross. The Roman comes up. I'm here to release Brian. And then Eric Idle's like, you know, the guy who's like, yeah, freedom for me. He's like, I'm Brian. No, I'm Brian. And so everyone's like, I'm Brian. So they take Eric Idle. And I was like, wait, I was only kidding. Like he wants to go back up. Bloody Romans can't take a joke. And then the people's front of Judea, they come up and they're like, Brian, we salute you. We admire what you're doing. And your sacrifice is, and he's like, what, you're not going to release me? No. And they sing, he's a jolly good fellow, and they just walk away. And then his girlfriend comes up and is like, oh, they told me what you do, and I'm so happy. And so finally the Judean People's Front, the Judean People's Front come up, and they scare the Romans away, and they're like, Suicide Squad here! And they stab themselves. And apparently that was a big bit that was cut out of the movie. They were supposed to be like Nazis. They had little Hitler mustaches and German helmets. And
In what's left in the movie, it's all it is a dig at suicide martyrdom.
Yeah.
And it works just with what's left even. So.
Yeah. So all the attempts to save Brian have failed. What's he got to look forward to? He's got to look on the bright side of life.
Yes.
I love that song because I think Eric Idle has captured the attitude that Christians are supposed to have. In one of my classes that I'm taking right now on discipleship, we had this conversation, and one of the other students in the class who's a pastor, he was saying that most Christians do not handle death well. You know, they will fight and rally.
I find most people don't handle death well.
Yeah. But people who are like atheists, they'll have more peace about it than Christians do. I mean, there are exceptions. Like a close friend of mine just had his father die, and he was saying just how peaceful and joyful and how much he was looking forward to being with his Lord and Savior. And just the singing that was coming out of his hospice room and how that was an example. And most of the time, Christians go down shaking their fist at the sky. Why, Lord? Why did you do this to me? Well, you know what? Death happens to everybody. But we live, as Christians, we're supposed to live in the hope and the promise of life anew. You know, and it's not just like after we die. It's a spiritual healing that happens right now. And it's supposed to transform us away from the bickering, fighting people that are being satirized in this movie.
So you think it's unironic at the end? You don't think
I think that's the genius of it, is it works both ways. It's the funniness of the situation. They're hanging on a cross, which is the most horrible death imaginable.
Yeah.
And he's singing, always look on the bright side of life. And the deeper irony there is that's absolutely true. If
I never thought of it that way. I always just looked at it as the juxtaposition of being crucified and always look on the bright side of life, which, how can you?
That's the paradox that Christians are supposed to live in. Our whole lives are a paradox. We're part of the kingdom of heaven, but yet we are still living here on earth. We're holy and righteous and sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ, yet we're still sinners, stuck in our sinful world. We endure the harshest and the most horrible of situations, supposedly with joy and grace, but that only comes through a relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit. And I think what this movie is poking at are people who say they are Christians and have like a rational belief, but not that deeper spiritual and emotional understanding of what it is to be a Christian. It's taken me until recently to really, in the last few years of my life, and I've spent more than half of my life as a Christian, to really just start to understand that. So, you know, I have bad days, and I'm not the most joyful person all the time. I can be bitter, and I could treat people like a jerk, because a lot of times I am a jerk, and I admit that. And this movie, by watching it, helps me understand some of those ways that I behave badly. And that's why I think more Christians should watch this movie with an open heart and an open mind and say, well, yeah, maybe I'm not doing what Jesus asked me to do.
And go ahead and laugh at the funny bits and laugh at the nudity. Don't contemn the movie because there's naked people. It's supposed to be funny.
Well, that is...
Laugh at Terry Jones's mom's voice.
Yeah.
Just laugh at it. Unless you think it's making fun of you. In which case, it probably is, and that's all the more reason to watch this movie.
Yeah. Well, when this movie came out, it was really lambasted, especially in the British media, for being blasphemous.
By people who hadn't seen it yet.
Right. And John Cleese and Michael Palin went on a TV show called Friday Night, Saturday Morning, where Malcolm Muggeridge and Melvin Stockwood, the Bishop of Southwark, debated with them. And those guys hadn't even seen the whole movie. They missed the first part. They didn't realize that Brian and Jesus were supposed to be two different people.
That's kind of important.
So John Cleese and Michael Palin are really defending their movie, and they're like, look, we're not lampooning Christ. They've said, all the Pythons have said on multiple occasions, we can't disagree with someone who's preaching about peace and love. I mean, this movie was made in the 70s, and these guys had most of their careers in the 60s when that was a major driving force in a lot of political or anti-political thinking. Of course they're going to be for peace and love. And they're like, we can't say anything bad about that. So they were not lampooning Christ himself, but the people who were his followers who were getting it wrong.
Yeah, I saw the same special. That was in the half hour or so I watched at the beginning, and
yeah.
I think they talked about it in Almost the Truth, the lawyer's cut.
Yes.
And it's the same thing would happen today, I think, if somebody tried to make a religious comedy. It would be prejudged and not taken on its merits, but just knee-jerked by ultra-Christian spokespeople. Shall we say?
Yes.
And people whose mouths are bigger than their brains,
yeah.
Let's say. I think at least regarding this movie, it at least had something to say, and it had a wit and intellect behind it, and it can be defended.
None of the Pythons individually could agree with each other on what religion was, but they could all agree on what it wasn't. And I think I agree with them on what it isn't.
Yeah.
So... Well, your final judgment on Life of Brian?
This is the only one of the three proper movies that I don't have in my personal collection. I had to get it from the library. I had the chance to buy it for $8 recently, but I bought Skyfall instead. And I think I think that was a wise purchase. It's not... I wish it was funnier. I get it. I appreciate the point they were trying to make. I completely stand behind it. but it's not as funny as I would like, and I'm not sure I will watch it repeatedly like I can Holy Grail.
Yeah, the Holy Grail is,
and
I think it's a more classic movie. It is one of their funniest movies, but I think I will stand behind my statement before and say this is probably their best movie because of where it ends up. I mean, the ending for this one is a heck of a lot better than the ending to Holy Grail.
Agreed.
They just Agreed. Didn't have one.
And and I'd also like to reiterate my point that I believe Christians should watch this. It is not filth.
Amen. It might be crass, but it's not filth.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Thank you.
Shall we talk a little bit about some of the Python sketches in our TV corner?
Ever so briefly, I think, because we spoke a lot about this movie, and so let's just justify having a TV corner by briefly mentioning some of their skits that dealt with religion.
Okay, so Mike and I, we managed to watch a few skits from the series Monty Python's Flying Circus. I happened to get this really cheap on Amazon. I think I got it for like $30.
Oh, wow.
The whole series. So my favorite bits are the mouse organ. Remember that?
There's a lot of them. Help me out here.
I've trained each of these mice to squeak at a different frequency. This one is E-flat. F-sharp. E-flat, F-sharp. So now I'll get these mice to squeak, three blind mice, and he brings out these two big hammers and starts hitting the mice.
Oh, yeah.
And then people start chasing. I laugh so hard. I almost pee my pants every time I watch that one.
My favorite is Upper Class Twit of the Year, where it's kind of like a multi-sport Olympic event, but with, dare I say, inbred idiots who can't really do anything right.
They call them Gumbies.
Okay.
Yeah. They have like little handkerchiefs tied to their heads. And
they all talk like this.
And the blackmail show hosted by Eric Idle. That's a good one, too.
Call in, and we will stop playing this video.
The price goes up every second you don't call in.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. But some of the ones we looked at were the classic sketch, the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah. I knew we were talking about Life of Brian, but I did not expect to be talking about the Spanish Inquisition.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
It is true.
Watching the original skit, it is less funny than it is when they redo it. I think they do that bit in Now for Something Completely Different. I think they do it then. I know they do it like in the Hollywood Bowl.
I think it's the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in. I could be wrong. I don't think it's in Now for Something Completely Different.
The Hollywood Bowl is great because it takes all their good sketches and they're doing it live in front of an American audience. They really take their time to put little nuances in there and sort of sap the humor out of every line that they really were just trying to you know, crank them out on TV in front of a live camera audience. So,
yeah, I'm sorry I never got to see them live because by the time I was old enough, Graham Chapman had passed away and now they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, were we going to talk about the bishop?
Oh, yeah, we could talk about the bishop. That one was actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I told Robert I would watch the heaven out of that show. it was a sketch that was set up like a bishop and his flunkies go around trying to stop heinous crimes like terrorist explosions and were never successful.
Vicar, don't read that verse!
Boom!
Or they're at a christening, and he's like, "Vicar, don't say that baby's name, Francesco."
Yeah, the baby is a bomb.
It like falls open and it explodes.
It reminded me a lot of the Beastie Boys Sabotage video, where it had like a fake opening and everything. It was great.
Oh boy! But as we mentioned before, the surviving pythons are supposedly getting together to do another movie. So yeah. That would be very interesting.
Even if it is just voice work.
Yeah, it's one of those things that...
Take what you can get.
And, you know, it might be in development hell for some time. You never know how these things... They'll announce these things and then they never come to fruition. So.
Yeah.
But you know what is coming to fruition, Mike? The Riddick movie.
I know nothing about this.
I'm going to take you to see that.
No, you're not.
And we're going to do a Vin Diesel double feature.
No.
Fast 6 and Riddick.
And no! Yeah.
But on a future podcast, seriously, you need to watch.
I am never watching those movies again.
Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick.
That is 4 hours of my life. I'm not getting back.
Not you. You won't sacrifice that even for the podcast.
No.
But life is sacrifice. Sorry.
I've technically already sacrificed that to Vin Diesel.
Okay. Yeah, we should not sacrifice to Vin Diesel.
The things you're gonna do for your country.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That one is bad.
They're all bad.
Oh, well,
you know the only good Vin Diesel movie I've ever seen?
Saving Private Ryan.
Save It Private Ryan. Do you know why?
He dies like
5 minutes
in. He's
the first man down.
Okay, well.
Anyway.
We'll continue this debate another time, whether or not we should follow Vin Diesel.
I thought of you the other day. They had, I guess there was some convention over the weekend and somebody had Riddick cosplay.
Oh. What they do have, like, really buff with no shirt and some goggles on.
He wasn't that buff, but he was bald and had the goggles and the black tank and the black pants and the boots.
Oh, there you go.
It looked okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually Vin Diesel, so I didn't have a problem with it.
If Vin Diesel was actually there,
right
away screaming.
Yeah, if it was a picture of Vin Diesel, I wouldn't have looked at it.
Yeah.
Anyway, out of the rat hole.
We could watch Daredevil with your favorite Ben Affleck.
I would rather watch Daredevil again than ever see another Vin Diesel movie the rest of my life.
Sorry, I'm picking on Mike now. I shouldn't do that. That's a horrible, un-Christian thing to do.
And I gave you donuts.
Well, thank you for the donuts, sir.
And this is how you repay me. We're just having fun,
crucifixion. Oh, you're getting off easy. Crucifixion is the best. Anyways, well, for reals next time.
Yes.
Well, we are going to be watching the movie Contact.
Yes, one of a fantastic film, in my opinion. My wife doesn't care for it. She finds it boring, and I kind of understand where she's coming from, but I like it because I like the philosophical stuff that's in it. I actually like the talky parts. I'm a big fan of Robert Zemeckis and Jodie Foster. Not so much Matthew McConaughey, but he's okay in the movie. And I really like it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again for the first time since I bought it on Blu-ray, because my DVD crapped out on me.
And in TV Corner, we will be watching some of the episodes of Ancient Aliens.
At long last, since we seem to make fun of it every episode. Yeah. It seems only fair that we actually critique it. And I have saved on my DVR the prophets and, I don't know, something about prophets. And I've actually watched, I think I watched the whole thing, finally.
Yeah.
And it talks about... Elijah and Nostradamus, and it has a couple biblical people in there, and Nostradamus, and at one point someone with a PhD comes out and says, quote, "The Book of Mormon is based on extraterrestrial sources," or something. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it, that the Book of Mormon came from aliens.
Well, that explains something.
It explains a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in our Prometheus discussion, we talked about the space Jesus. And I have to watch more of the Ancient Aliens, but I think they might hit on that sometime. I have a couple seasons queued up on my watch list for Amazon.
Is it free?
Yeah.
Prime? Okay.
Yeah, on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's on Netflix or not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so it's available there. Or they still show it on...
it's on. They show new episodes, I think, on Friday nights on History.
Yeah.
History or H2, one of them. It's there. I keep seeing it. Interesting factoid that has absolutely nothing to do, but a few days ago I was flipping channels and Contact and Ancient Aliens were both on at the same time.
It was meant to be.
Schedule your DVRing accordingly.
All right. So, yeah, if you want Twitter updates on shows like that, you could follow us on Twitter and at Facebook. Just go to CGG Podcast. Just search there. You can also email us at ctgpodcast@yahoo.com. Also, check out our website, www.ctgpodcast.com. And for all you mobile users, I have a link right at the top for our new mobile website, so you can listen to the CTG Podcast anytime, anywhere.
Except in heaven.
Well, yeah, we'll be listening to Jesus and God speak, and we'll be praising Him all the time, so that's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. Mike, the agnostic, is not sure whether he wants to believe that or not, so we're going to end our show saying thank you for listening, and this is Robert saying keep the faith.
And this is Mike saying... Follow me on Twitter @MichaelMPatty, and peace out.